Are you happy to be together with the body of Christ? Man, I know I am. Hey, I'll tell you what, before we do anything else, you guys just sang so well. We talked about our great God who does great things. I can tell you this, a year ago, man, oh man, it felt way different on Easter Sunday, didn't it? Didn't it? And a year later, praise be to God, it is so different, right? Woo! So can we do this? Can we just give the Lord a praise offering for sustaining us over this last year? Can we do it? Let's go. Come on. If you have a Bible, I want you to open up to Psalm 103. Okay, Psalm 103. And today, we are just going to walk through Psalm 103. So I know that there are people here who have been following Jesus for years. And when I say Psalm 103, your mind knows exactly where we're going and what we're going to do. But then there are some of you that are here today that are watching or worshiping with us virtually, and Psalm 103 may be completely unfamiliar to you. So our worship time together this Resurrection Sunday is simply going to walk through this psalm. We're going to allow God's word to be what leads us, to be what guides us. And as we walk through Psalm 103, I want to invite us to do three things today. Three things today. But before I invite you to do three things, because those of you who are here, you were invited to be here. How many people received an invitation to be here today? All right, awesome. How many people invited people to come today? Yeah, awesome. So we all got an invitation. But before I talk to you about the three things that we've been invited to do today, I want to talk about the two major problems that are in the world. Because if you could take every problem that you have and boil it down into one, I guarantee that it's either one of these two problems. The first one is this: sin. We have a sin problem. The brokenness in our world is because of sin. And I know some of you who may be listening right now may go, yeah, Pastor, that's your opinion, but I'm telling you, the Word of God tells us that we have a sin problem. The second problem is this: sickness. Have we not all been personally impacted by sickness today? Right? That amen from that shot agreed. Amen, right? Yeah. Have we not all been impacted by sickness this year? All right, if you agree, say yes or amen. All right, the way we tell people at Parkway is if you can't say amen, you can at least say ouch. All right? So that's how it's going to work as we go through the day today. So if you've been impacted by sin or sickness, let me hear you say amen, yeah, or ouch. Yeah, I heard some ouches too. Praise the Lord. We also have one enemy. So the two problems are sin and sickness, and we have one enemy. And do you know what that enemy does with sin and sickness? It's another S word because I'm a preacher, all right? And it's called sabotage. He takes the sin in the world and he takes the sickness in the world and he uses them to sabotage our lives. And our lives have been sabotaged over the last however many thousands of years, but particularly over this past year, our lives have been sabotaged. And he sabotages through four ways. Through division, our world is divided. Through distraction, and if you don't know what distraction is, be around children. All right? Deception, and then a word called derision. And the word derision is simply this: it takes what's supposed to be happening, the truth that's supposed to be there, and it twists it. It derides it. So division, distraction, deception, and derision. So what should be our response then to sin and to sickness and to sabotage? I know this may sound strange, but let's see what the scriptures say to us about what our response is supposed to be. Because he tells us, and this is the first invitation, and I want to invite you to do this with me over the next hour. I invite you to bless the Lord. All right, the first invitation. I know this sounds crazy, but the response that you and I have to sin and to sickness and to sabotage. Listen, it's to bless the Lord. Look at Psalm 103. It says this. Bless the Lord, O my what? Come on. Soul. And all that is within me. Say it again. Bless his holy name. Twice. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. So then here's my question. I'm a really simple guy. What on earth does it mean to bless the Lord? Like, what does it mean to actually bless the Lord? I hear that, and people talk about being blessed. Like, man, I'm blessed because I got a new Mustang, right? Or maybe I'm blessed because I drive my Pinto, right? Yeah, man, I know, me too. But what does it mean to bless the Lord? Now, maybe you've heard people say, praise the Lord. And bless the Lord and praise the Lord. Your translation of God's word here may say, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Praise his holy name or bless his holy name. But here's the deal. We actually bless the Lord by praising him, because bless the Lord simply means this: to delight the heart of God by expressing love and gratitude for all that he is and all that he does. Blessing the Lord literally means to speak or sing about the goodness and the greatness of the Lord. So our response to sin and to sickness and sabotage is actually not to confront sin and sickness and sabotage in our own strength, but it's to bless the Lord. Verse 2 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and check this out, and don't forget all of his benefits. Because what happens when you start to bless the Lord is God starts to download in you all his benefits. Because guess what you and I do the moment we go to bed and wake up the next day? We forget his benefits. All right, so we can bless the Lord for all, in all. Because go back and look at verse 1 and 2 again. I know you're like, preacher, you're preaching early. We're going to get to it a little later, I promise. But listen, bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? All that is within me. And then look at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So then here's the question. What are his benefits? Can you guys ask that real quick? Come on. What are his benefits? I'm so glad you asked. His benefits are why we praise the Lord. So let's look at them. Verse 4, first benefit, forgiveness. Who forgives all your iniquity, that's the first one. The word forgiveness is used in Scripture only, listen to this, it's crazy. The word forgiveness is used in Scripture only about God's forgiveness of sinners. It's not used in any other way. The word iniquity pictures sin as something twisted and distorted. And those who've trusted in Christ have experienced God's forgiveness. First benefit, forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I'm a great sinner and I'm really thankful for forgiveness. Second benefit, healing. God is literally able to heal every disease. But hear this, he is not obligated to do so. We see tons and tons of miracles in the Scriptures, and we can wonder sometimes why that doesn't happen to us. I'll be frank, I have wondered over the last year and 3 months, God, why haven't you stopped this sickness? I've got friends, some of whom are here today, and their bodies have been riddled with physical pain due to just physical brokenness and sickness. And I've cried out to God for over a year. And I'll be honest, it's hard for me to think about the benefit of healing when for the people I love, that healing has not yet been brought. Can I just be that honest? It's hard. But the Bible tells me to bless the Lord. The next thing it says in verse 5, it says, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Third benefit is redemption. God delivers the people from their bondage in Egypt in Exodus. And this statement describes God redeeming someone about to fall into a what? A pit. It says that he gives extravagant love. It doesn't just say he gives extravagant love. It says he crowns us with extravagant love. So what do we have so far? We got forgiveness, right? We've got healing, right? We've got redemption. And then check this out. He crowns us with extravagant love. And then he crowns us not just with extravagant love, but extravagant mercy. And for someone who is extravagantly messed up, that's good news. Then look at verse 6. It says this is where it gets weird, guys. He satisfies us with good so that your youth is renewed like eagles. He satisfies us with good things. Hear me. You will not find satisfaction in a vaccine. You will not find satisfaction in a doctor telling you you're fine. Your satisfaction will come only from blessing the Lord. There is no satisfaction in life. The Rolling Stones weren't lying when they wrote the song, I don't get no, right? They weren't lying. Because the only way to get satisfaction is in Christ. And they rail about it for 5 to 7 minutes. And we replay it over and over again while we dance in our kitchens or naked in our showers. We don't get no satisfaction because it only comes from knowing Christ and blessing the Lord. And then it goes on, verse 7, the Lord works righteousness and justice. Look at this word again, for what? All who are oppressed. So here's the good news. You don't have to be offended for someone else's injustice and pop it all over everywhere and display your vengeance to everyone, because it tells us here in verse 7 that who's going to work righteousness and justice for the oppressed? The Lord. So our choir is going to come up and we're going to sing a song. So choir, you guys go ahead and come now. We're going to sing a song literally called Bless the Lord. Now hear me. I know how incredibly difficult it is to bless the Lord when you don't want to. I know how incredibly difficult it is to bless the Lord when you can't find any satisfaction in anything else. And if I could just invite you, just like you were invited today, just like someone invited you, and if someone posted something, you're with us online, you've been invited to do this right now. I want to invite you to just try to bless the Lord. And as we sing, I want you to go back over to the verses that we read and say, God, show me your forgiveness. God, show me your healing. God, show me your extravagant love. God, show me your extravagant mercy. God, show me you working righteousness and justice, because it's really hard for me to see it right now in the day in which I live. I want to invite you to bless the Lord. I promise you, you'll be satisfied.
All right. That's pretty exciting, huh? Yeah, can we bless the Lord again? Let's bless the Lord again. God has been so good, so good to us. I'm going to keep talking because we did a little quick mic change. So first invitation was to what? Man, y'all are letting me down. You got it. Thank you, buddy. Absolutely. Thank you, ma'am. All right, so first invitation was to what? Bless the Lord. We gave you like 5 different opportunities to bless the Lord there. If you haven't done it, that's your fault. I love you. All right. I love you too much just be honest with you. All right. You can bless the Lord. I promise. Doesn't that feel different than it did before? Amen. Doesn't that help you think differently than what it did before? Amen. Because I know some of you are feelers and some of you are thinkers. So, you know, hopefully that ministered to you. First invitation, I told you there were how many invitations today? 3. Second one is this. We're invited to know the Lord and experience his forgiveness. All right, let's keep reading. Psalm 103, Pastor Mike read verse 8, that God reveals his ways to Moses. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts towards the people of Israel. Verse 9 says this, the Lord is what? Come on. Merciful. He's merciful and gracious. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Verse 10 says this, he will not always chide. What's that? What does chide mean? Chide means he won't always be chippy about the sin and brokenness and sabotage that's in our world. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. Aren't you grateful? And here's why. Look at verse 11. This is how he doesn't chide anymore. This is how he doesn't keep his anger forever. Verse 11, he does not deal with us according to our what? Sins. We said the first problem was what? Sin. And he doesn't deal with us according to our sins. Woo! Right? Like, there it is in black and white. So if you're a messed up sinner, this is really good news. If you're a self-righteous prude, this is really good news. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins. Aren't you thankful? Yes. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. And here's how. It says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. Do you know what steadfast love is? Steadfast love is love that is not conditional on the way you and I act. Steadfast love means that he keeps on loving you. It's like a mama whose baby is colicky at 15 months. And you haven't slept more than 2 hours straight in 15 months. You know what I'm talking about? How many people feel my pain? Say amen. And I'm a dude, all right? Steadfast love means I'm going to keep on loving you. Our REO Speedwagon has nothing on Jesus. He's going to keep on loving us. That's what steadfast love is. Steadfast love is looking us in our filth and saying, I love you anyway. It says he doesn't deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear. That's high. Like, that's really high. And then here's the craziest part. Verse 13, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. See, the problem with that statement is that you and I are so close to our sin. We have a hard time picturing what it could possibly be like to have our sin removed that far from us. Because this side of eternity, you and I, we deal with the grips, we deal with the effects, we deal with the consequences of sin every day. So reading something like this might even seem a little otherworldly. And that's exactly what it is. It's not natural, it's supernatural. Like the very fact that we're gathered here today worshiping a Jewish carpenter that rose from the dead is supernatural. Like the fact that we're still talking about his life 2,000 years after his life and death is supernatural. And we will bless the Lord forever, and that is supernatural. You see, this section, verses 8 through 12, is the gospel of Jesus Christ in Psalm 103. This is the gospel in the Old Testament. Ha! Like, wow. So you may have a question. How does God remove our transgressions and sin as far as the east is from the west? Well, yes, you've probably heard of his death if you've seen a cross. But all men die. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead literally obliterated our sin and sealed our redemption. The resurrection literally changes everything. It physically changes everything. It emotionally changes everything. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. A murderer and terrorist was changed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he wrote about the resurrection and how his life was changed and how his sin was removed from him as far as the east is from the west. You may have heard of him. His name is Paul, formerly Saul. And this is what he wrote. In verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says this, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, that's what we're doing right now, how then can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. I told the congregation last week, if they find the bones of Jesus, I'm quitting my job and renouncing my faith. This is pointless. bud. They've been looking for 2,000 years, and they haven't found him, and they won't because he's in heaven. And when his bones come again with the flesh on it and him breathing, everyone will know who's Lord. Everyone will know who's Lord. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You, listen to this, you are still in your sins. Like red light. No, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then we're still in our sins. But Christ still died. Yeah, he died. He paid the penalty for your sins, but if he didn't raise from the dead, we're still in our sins because all men die. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we of all people most to be pitied. Do you know why the world right now hates Christians? Because they don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you know why the world finds Christianity to be completely disgusting? Because they don't believe in the supernatural power of the resurrected Christ. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. First invitation is to bless the Lord. The second invitation is to know the Lord and experience his forgiveness. Third invitation, last one. We're invited into a relationship with a benevolent, loving, holy Father. You and I have been invited into a loving relationship with a perfect, good, loving Father. He's better than the earthly father that you had or that you have. Verse 14, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of a field, and the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. 100 years from now, most people won't know any of our names if Christ tarries. But God will. And for those of us who have entered into a loving relationship with God the Father, listen to what it says about us. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Those who bless the Lord, we will be with him forever. He will know our name forever. We'll have every need met forever. From everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to his children's children. So not only will he know our name forever, but we will pass on a legacy of following Jesus to our kids, to our grandchildren. Like dads, can I ask you a question real quick? Do your kids know that you love Jesus? If you don't, why not? Why not start loving him and showing your families how much you love him? Why not start blessing him? Moms, do your children know your faith? Why not? Why not show them your faith? And I know you may be like, but I'm a sinner, but I'm sick. No, no, Jesus took care of that. All you have to do is trust him. All you have to do is follow him. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those, listen to this, who keep his covenant. Now we're starting to meddle in our lives. Because if we say that we bless the Lord and we say that we know him and we say that we want to experience his forgiveness and we say we want to enter into a loving relationship with the Father, then guess what a good father does? He tells us we can't do what we used to do anymore. But here's where people push back on God. They go, yeah, but I don't want to have to change my ways in order to come to faith in Jesus. And the good news is you don't. But once you come to faith in Jesus, you don't keep doing the things that you once did. That's how it works. That's how it works. Because when you receive forgiveness from your sin and you receive your healing from your sickness and God fixes the sabotage in your life, how ridiculous would it be for a loving father to allow you to run back to your sin and your sabotage? You see, we don't serve a cold and distant judge of a God, but we serve a loving, intimate, creative Father who is way larger than any of us dared imagine. Even though he is so massive, so infinite, so eternal, and we are so small, so insignificant, so temporary, he loves us and he rewards us greatly when we take part in his covenant and remember his commandments. God is an eternal God who wants to share his eternal home with us. This is the grace that we do not deserve, but he gives. In Deuteronomy 14 times, Moses instructs the people to remember the Lord and what he did for them. 9 times, he says, don't forget what he did for you. Why? Because forgetting brings about a tendency for us to run back to our sabotage. You know, many people reject this relationship with God. I know it's crazy. I mean, it's just an invitation to bless the Lord and to know the Lord and to be in a relationship with a loving Father. Many people actually reject this invitation, like openly reject it. Sounds ridiculous, but they do. I did it for years. I rejected this. Why would you reject this? And you know why? Because sin and sickness and sabotage exist in their world and the world around them. And they just find it hard to believe that if a resurrected Christ really did what he did, why is the world still the way that it is? And I want to push back on you just for a moment if I can. Because when bad things happen, when there's persistent pain, when there's persistent sickness, when the cancer doesn't go away, people ask this question, why do we suffer? Like, why do bad things happen to good people? And if I could ask this question, a friend of mine asked me this question when I was struggling in my life with why bad things were happening. And here's what he said. Why do you long for something better? Like, why do you actually think that there could be something better than what there is? And then here was the follow-up question. Have you actually ever seen an environment where as good as you think it should look actually looks? And the answer is no. Not a one of us has actually seen what we think it should be. So here's the truth. God made you and me for something better. Something more. And that's what that gnawing feeling is inside of you. That's what that longing is inside of you. That something better is our heavenly home. That something better is a garden called Eden that Adam and Eve were cast out of because of their sin and their sabotage. We were made for the garden. And what drove us out of the garden was sin. Sin led us out of the garden, and we long for what we were created for. And Jesus is the answer to that longing. Because if Jesus resurrected from the grave, just like we talked about, and we believe that he did, then our rescue, our victory is complete. Here's what I mean by that. And the tents might get me, maybe not. I'll save the camera. Hey, give it up for these guys. They're amazing. That was great. That was God's way of saying amen. Now here's the point. If Jesus resurrected from the grave and we believe that he did, then our rescue and our victory is complete. Here's what I mean by that. Death rules and reigns because sin entered the cosmos. In fact, if I could just say it like this, most of the movies represent death and resurrection different than the Bible. How do I know that? Because there's tons of zombie apocalypse movies. There's tons of video games about the resurrected dead, the walking dead, and they all portray it as some nasty, horrific thing. And the zombie apocalypse is viewed very differently by the Bible than it is by our modern sci-fi writers. Because if you think about a movie like Pet Sematary, or you think about The Walking Dead or anything like that, it's just pervasive in our culture. And what they view about death is that death is natural and resurrection is unnatural. That's why when someone comes back to dead, everything's not right, things are distorted. But the Bible actually comes about it the opposite way, that death is actually unnatural. Do you know what I've never experienced beside, and I've been with so many different people when their loved one has died or they've died. Do you know what happens around the room? No one looks in and goes, well, that's just the way it is. No one goes, this is just natural. People weep and they mourn and there's a gnawing inside them that goes, no, it wasn't meant to be this way. And God's saying the same thing. It wasn't meant to be this way, but I came and I fixed it. Because in the Bible, death is unnatural and resurrection is natural. And Jesus did for us what will happen for us. He set the example for us if we die before he returns. Death was not in God's design until sin entered the cosmos. Then Christ's resurrection from the grave shows us that God has conquered death and therefore has conquered sin, which for us as an implication means it does not matter what our past is full of. The power of Christ, the power of Christ's forgiveness is available to all. So how do we receive this invitation? Two words, surrender and confess. And don't forget to bless the Lord. Verse 20 says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This psalm opens and closes with a plea, an invitation for all to remember the benefits of God and to not forget to bless the Lord. All of creation is to praise the Lord, not just the heavens and the angelic beings, but us. Like, did you ever think about the fact that when you sing, you join with all of creation in praising the Lord? This final shout in Psalm 103 does not come from angels, but comes from men. Because there's one thing that angels can't sing about. Angels cannot sing about amazing grace. They can't sing about redemption. But when we sing songs about redemption, the word says that they hush and they listen. So if you're a Christ follower, you've been saved, baptized like these guys were baptized, this lady, we're going to take the supper. We've got 18 men that are going to come gloved and masked, and they're going to serve you the supper. So as the band comes and the team comes, we're going to prepare to distribute the supper. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, meaning that you've been saved and you've been baptized, you don't have to be a member of this church, then the supper's for you. All you have to do is take the two cups that are coming. They're stacked one on top of the other. The bread is right underneath the juice that's on top. You just grab both those cups, and they're for you. And then after we sing, we'll take the supper together. And as we prepare for that, I want to encourage you to, we've done this the entire service, bless the Lord. Remember, if you're a follower of Christ, how you were invited to know the Lord and experience his forgiveness and give him thanks for what he's done for you. Remember the relationship that you have with Christ and bask in it. Enjoy it. Confess your sin before him. Say, God, I know you've forgiven me for this, and I still run back to my same sin. I still run back to this sickness. I still sit in this sabotage, and I don't have to. You've already opened the door for me to just walk out of it. God, thank you for your broken body and for your blood that was poured out for me. So your invitation as we sing Resurrecting, they'll begin passing this for the believers who are here to take the supper. And after the song, we'll all take the supper together. But for the rest of us that are here, there's a prayer tent. Well, there was a prayer tent. There's a prayer openness. See, God was moving it. He was making a way for more room. Amen?
Amen.
All right, there's room at the cross for you, man. God, thank you. That was really good. If you're not a Christ follower, or if you're struggling with your faith, we've got plenty of men and women who want to pray with you. So our prayer leaders will come, and they'll be standing there. And during the invitation, don't wait. As soon as we start singing, you come. And just say, hey, I'm struggling with sin. Would you pray with me? Or say, hey, I've been sick for a long time. And I need prayer for healing. Maybe you're a Christ follower. You just need prayer for healing. You can come. The prayer tent's there for you. Maybe there are those of you who need to receive Jesus Christ. And I'm going to pray in just a moment. And I pray that you would do that. I pray you just receive the invitation to bless the Lord, to know the Lord, to enter into relationship with the Lord and be forgiven by Christ. Come and tell someone. And we literally have extra clothes. We'll baptize you today. If you want to wait and want family to come, that's fine too. But this altar will be open for you. So let me pray with us. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you, God, for Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. God, thank you that the resurrection is exactly what we're here proclaiming. And God, without the resurrection, there is no forgiveness of sin. But because Christ died and because he was resurrected, there is forgiveness of sin. So all we have to do is receive the invitation to bless the Lord, to know the Lord, and to enter into relationship with a loving, holy Father. And we cannot do that except by Christ. So God, I pray for anyone that's here that's never trusted Christ, anyone who's listening right now, that they would do so, that they would surrender their lives to you. They would say, Jesus, I believe that you came, that you died, and that you rose again for me, and I enter into relationship with you. If that's you, I'm going to encourage you to come while we sing and tell someone, I've trusted Christ today. I received the invitation and I took him up on it. Maybe there's some others. You've been a Christ follower. Maybe you were baptized as a young man or a young woman, but it's been a long time since you've done this whole church thing. And the Lord's been pricking your heart. He's been saying, hey, I'm talking to you. Why don't you come and tell someone and have them pray with you and begin walking with Christ? Maybe you're a believer. Maybe you've come to Parkway for a long time and you just need to pray with someone. I'm going to encourage you to do that as we respond during this song. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You stand with us as we sing.